Thank you very much, Orchestra. Let's, if we can, please take our Bibles to James chapter 5. We'll just take about 10 minutes or so. I want to continue our study in James. I'm very thankful for the challenge that James gives us. I believe James, as the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem, had a very intense desire to see Christians who were saved mature in their walk with the Lord. It's a book of maturity. There's at least 12 different things that help us mature in the Christian life. And I want you to look, if you would please, at James chapter 5 momentarily. Just to remind ourselves, number one, we mature through trials. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you go through trials. And when you have trials, count it joy, not for the trial, but for what God is doing from a trial. We've heard about trials today of a child who was sick, and that $2 million later, after medical things, that God has continued to do a miracle. We've heard about an injury that has taken place, and there's a lot more questions than answers. When you have a trial, you can't say, I just can't wait. I've been waiting for cancer for all these years. No. Oh, I just can't wait till I get hurt or something happened bad. But you count it all joy for what God can do through the trial. You praise Him. You pray for wisdom in the middle of your trial, and you persevere through it. We show our maturity by our approach to the Scripture. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above. I think that's a reference to the Bible. And your attitude toward the Bible determines what God will do with you. And the Bible is the greatest agent of change known to mankind. And our maturity will develop rapidly as we have a personal relationship with the Bible. Our maturity is shown in chapter 2 by how we treat other people, whether they be rich or poor. And because we know one thing God is not, He's not a respecter of persons. We show our maturity by putting our faith to practice. If you say you believe in giving, well, give. If you say you believe in soul winning, be a soul winner. If you say you believe in discipling converts, then there ought to be someone that you are investing in on a regular basis. If you say you believe in forgiveness, then learn to forgive. If a man say he have faith and hath not works, it's dead, being alone. We show our faith and we show our maturity by how we use our mouth, chapter 3. What we say, is your tongue directing or is it destroying? We show our maturity by approach of wisdom we take, either the wisdom from the world that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, or wisdom that's from above, that's pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good works, without partiality, without hypocrisy, sowing peace. Is that the wisdom we have? We show our maturity. When you come into the room, do you bring more peace or more drama? Immature people create lots of drama. Little people make little problems big. Great people make big problems small. Learn to exercise maturity. Chapter 4, we show our maturity by submission. It takes no maturity at all to rebel. Rebellion comes very natural to me, natural to you. Destroying things and criticizing each other, having interpersonal problems. Everybody who's immature has that. It takes maturity to submit. And it's through submission that we work through interpersonal problems. It's through submission that we live a holy life that is not contaminated with the world. The Bible says in that same context, learning to submit yourself to God, resist the devil. That's how we stay from being worldly in our behavior. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And then we show our maturity by understanding, and this has already been brought today in this passage, and I'm so grateful, is the brevity of life. What is your life? It is even a vapor. A vapor that just comes in for a little time, and you and I are still in our vapor. In the last week, I know of 7 people who have died. Just did a funeral last night. I did 2 funerals last week. And the difference between the people that I did funerals for and me is I'm still in my vapor. There's a funeral taking place as we speak of Miss Rosemarie Pearson. And I think about Miss Rosemarie. I've seen her many times in her place. And now she's with the Lord and she's out of her vapor. I'm still in my vapor. You're still in yours. And understanding that our casket could be in town today is a very mature thing to think about. The urgency of life is so important. Then chapter 5 speaks of we show our maturity by our approach to substance. In the first 6 verses, it talks about you rich men weep and howl for the misery that's going to come upon you because you saved too much. You just filled your own bellies just to die. You mistreated other people and were not honest in your financial dealings, or you became superior in your mind and you abused others. Sometimes money can cause us to do that in our wrong approach to finances. And then we see here in chapter 5, and let's look if we can please at these verses, make a couple observations, and our time is up this morning. Thank you for your patience. Verse number 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. By the way, the coming of the Lord should be a motivational thing in all of our lives, that Jesus could come in any moment. If you haven't thought about that lately, you should. It's a motivation for us. Because the Lord's coming back soon, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious and the fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until we receive the early and the latter rain. Learning to be patient and do what is good when things are not going good is one of the greatest indications of your maturity. A farmer gets rain. Boy, things start going. Then he has several weeks with no rain. And he is waiting for the latter rain so he can get that last push. What does he do whenever it's the month of June and it hasn't rained a drop? Does he say, forget it, I'm done? Does he go out and weed? Does he go out and check? Does he try to irrigate? He does what he can, waiting for the latter rain. And sometimes you're going to find seasons where things are not going well, but you need to keep doing well things. You need to keep doing good things. When things are not going good, keep doing good. So many people quit. And there's many billboards in the Bible that says be steadfast, unmovable. Let's not be weary in due season you'll reap. If Jesus talked about prayer and he says, look, I'm going to give you this parable so you would learn to pray and not faint. Men ought always to pray and not faint. So many people, you can't quit. You can't separate quitting what God called you to do. And boy, I don't know how many different people that we heard just a few moments ago remind us not to quit. Because it's one of the main challenges. One of your greatest challenges in your life is going to continue to keep doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, for your whole life. And it's a beautiful thing. You don't want to stumble across the finish line. You want to come across the finish line with faith in God, your eye on the goal, and not being distracted. We see the rest of the passage of Scripture, verse number 8. Be therefore patient. So keep on going. Establish your hearts. You'll have to get inside of your mind, your will, your emotions, an understanding that, you know what, it's okay. I'm going to keep on going, even though things are not going very well. Look at that. Establish your hearts. And for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Once again, remind us of the coming of God. Now I want you to look at verse number 9, would you? Look at 9. Grudge not one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. See, one of the things that keeps us from finishing strong is an interpersonal problem with someone else. There are a lot of people that aren't in church today because they had a problem or an argument with somebody, and they have a grudge, and it's their excuse. They find a pastor who fails. Well, I'm not going to church anymore because they failed. Did you serve the Lord because of that pastor? Really? No, we got to look a little higher than him. We're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. But he said, grudge not one another. Don't get in these interpersonal problems and find reason to have animosity toward another brother or sister, because that's going to keep you from finishing. It's going to keep you from finishing. He says, the judge standeth at the door. I think that means that God is the great equalizer. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we have to do. The ways are men before the eyes of the Lord, and he knoweth, he sees everything. You know, the truth of the matter is, if someone's ever hurt you, you have a problem and it hurts you and disappoints you, who knows about that? God knows about that. He's a great equalizer. And you're not serving God because of somebody else. And if you get hurt, you don't want to quit. I want you to look at one more verse and we'll conclude today. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it follows, obviously, chapter 11, the great hall of faith, and talked about people who believed in God. Chapter 12 introduces us to a race. We have been handed the baton, and the people who handed the baton, they said, God says in verse number 40 of chapter 11 that they cannot be complete. They're waiting for you to finish. It's like a guys, they have four people that run the baton or and they're running a race, and they've handed it to the first guy. He ran his race. He handed the baton to the next guy. And then he ran. He gave the next guy. And then there's one more guy that's going to get it to finish the race. Well, you and I have been handed the baton. They need us to finish. And he says, boy, if you're going to run a race, remember the fan base. Remember you got people watching you. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He says, you're going to run a race. Remember, you got to run light to run right. You got to free yourself of sin and things that will weigh you down. Don't run your race with anger. Don't run it with enmity against someone else. It's like running a race with a backpack of rocks. It's dumb. Slows you down. Looking unto Jesus. Keep fighting. Don't get angry with the Father as He disciplines us. But in verse 14, it gives us the same concept here. Look at it and read it out loud with me. We'll conclude. Are you ready? Chapter 12, verse number 14. Ready? Follow peace. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one can see Christ. So as you run in your race, one of the things you're going to need to keep your eyes straight is you're going to have to understand you can't fight with the guy around you. You can't spend your time sending emails to this person, fighting about this person. Here's what happens. If you're running a race and you're in your lane and you're fighting with this person, you're spending your time with an argument over here, one thing you're doing, you're not looking at Jesus. You can't see Jesus. And you'll use that the rest of your life. There are many people who are sitting at home, wasting their life, watching the world go by, who have been called to serve the Lord, but they've been so distracted. They don't see Jesus because they've allowed an interpersonal problem, a hurt that they received, a grudge that's gone on, to keep them from keeping their eyes on the Lord. Young people, once you decide, I'm going to keep on going. All of us have hurts. I got them and you got them. And if you don't have them now, keep breathing. They're going to come to you. And what happens to you doesn't make or break you. It's your response to it. Take those hurts of the Lord, casting all your care upon He. Be careful for everything by prayer. Take your care, make it prayer. Take the hurts and the difficulties and disappointments. Don't spend your time fighting everybody else. Keep your eyes on the Lord and the holiness that He's called you to, and you're going to finish strong. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the chapel today and all we've heard. Please bless us as we conclude our day here at Hiles Anderson. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.